Shauna, good morning.
Morning.
Are you well?
I'm good, yeah.
You heard me talking to that lovely fella there the other morning, Warren, who's a hairdresser.
Yeah, I did, yeah. I suppose it really kind of struck a nerve with me. I'm a hairdresser myself, mm-hmm. and my dad was a barber, and he was a really well-known barber in Dublin. And when I listened to Warren, I suppose I felt like, oh my God, he reminds me of my dad, you know. He's, I suppose because I know he's much younger than my dad, but mm-hmm. that type of doing stuff for people, always trying to help people in need and, yeah.
Just to remind people that Warren was took it upon himself, 22 years old, to go around one morning with a stool and a scissors and give homeless people a haircut or a beard shave or trim, just for no other reason than to give them something, to give something back, as he said.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, I kind of felt, God, I'd love to do that as well. I'd love to help them, you know, with having a trade, I suppose, with being able to give something back. Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, my dad.
Yeah, go on.
I suppose with my dad, he was that type of person, you know, and he's no longer with us. He's dead now 12 years.
I'm sorry.
Okay. So.
Tell me a bit about your dad.
He was, unfortunately, at the age of 20, he was a raving alcoholic.
Oh, okay.
And he ended up in the Rutland Centre and had treatment. And, you know, he ended up being sober for 18 years, which was brilliant. And I wasn't even born at that stage, so I never knew him as a drinker.
Mm-hmm.
And, he was a really successful barber. He had a couple of different shops at different times in his life. And he was the licensed owner of the party. He would have been the type of person to walk into a room and just light it up. You know, he was really a lovely, lovely person when he was sober. And
You go on.
And then, unfortunately, things changed and he went back on the drink, you know, and hit it really hard. And he went from a stage of doing stuff for people and always helping people. Like he was heavily involved in AA, and you know, he sponsored people and helped people get off drink and was always at meetings and that sort of stuff, you know. And unfortunately he just went back on the drink and couldn't help himself, you know.
How old were you then?
I was when he went back on the drink, I was probably about 16. Yeah.
It's not easy being 16 anyway.
No, definitely not. No, it's hard to see because he was a totally different person when he was drinking.
What was he?
He just wasn't himself, you know. He looked sad when he was drinking. He looked very sad, where he was never sad. He was always, you know, always in great form. Everybody loved getting their hair cut with him. You know, he always had the full shop. People waiting on to get their hair cut, you know. And when he was drinking, he was probably, people just couldn't cope with him, you know. They were like, what the hell is this happening to you? Like, where is the person gone that was always happy-go-lucky, you know?
It's so unusual, isn't it, Shauna? Because it's normally the other way around. People are morose and downbeat and they drink and suddenly they're the crack and they're buying drinks that they can't afford. And, you know, your dad was in reverse, really.
Well, you see, he would have been happy probably for the first few drinks. And then as the drink hit him, you know, because he wasn't just a normal alcoholic. I don't mean a normal alcoholic, but he wasn't an alcoholic that just drank every day. He drank to get really, really drunk. You know, he'd wake up in the morning and the first thing he'd do would take a drink.
That's bad.
It was really bad, yeah. And I suppose then watching that happening, over like a few years, he just started to lose everything, you know, his businesses, his family. People start, you know, everyone tried to help him as much as we could. We all helped him. We all kind of, at different stages, people helped him get into treatments, and he'd go into treatment centre and he'd come home and he'd be great for a while. He'd be really good and it would be looking good, and then he'd go back barbering, and you know, then he'd go back on the drink and people would be so disappointed, you know. And I suppose over the course of a few years, everybody did their best. Like, he came out of treatment centre one time and my sister took him in, because, you know, obviously you would take him in and you'd give him a chance. And then as the weeks went on, she knew something wasn't right, and she found some vodka bottles under his bed, and she had to protect herself, you know, and say, right, enough is enough now, you have to go. So he did that to a few people. He had a great way about him to kind of, you know, he'd wrap it around his finger. He was just an amazing person, I suppose, and you'd take him in, and then you'd feel so let down when he'd go back on the drink, but he did, and he ended up then being on his own, you know, on the streets. It was that bad,
homeless.
Homeless, yeah.
Oh God, okay, and
yeah,
what a fall from grace, you know. Mm. What a sad deterioration of a good man.
Absolutely, yeah.
Did you ever see him on the streets?
No, and you know, I worked in town. I did the training in Dawson Street, I used to get off the bus on O'Connell Street, and that walk from O'Connell Bridge over to Dawson Street, I used to pray, thinking, oh God, I hope I don't see him, I hope I don't see him, I hope I don't see him, you know, and I never did, thank God I didn't see him, because I don't know what I would have done if I had, I would have felt terrible, and I would have, the guilt, you know, but you have to protect yourself.
What would you have done if you saw your dad sitting on the side of the street with the hat out?
I don't know, I just don't know what I would have done. I just kind of blanked it out of my head. You know, it wasn't a long time that he was on the streets, because like that, people would see him and he was so well known in town because he was from the inner city, so he was well known, and people would see him obviously and take him, and people could only do so much for somebody that didn't want to get there, you know.
But he would have, if his hairdressing salons would have been jammed with people dying to get, because they want him to cut their hair because he was fun and good at his job. So these people would have, his former clients would have passed him by.
They probably wouldn't have recognised him because he was the type of person that he was always immaculate.
Okay.
You know, he always had a suit and tie, you know, going to work. Yeah. And, you know, he always looked really, really well. Everyone said that about him. So to look at him then, not shaven, in sweats, like, you just don't see him like that, you know. So they probably wouldn't have recognised him,
just,
to be honest.
We don't know who we're passing by on the street, do we? We don't know who's sitting there with the cap on the ground or whatever. We just don't know the story.
You don't know their story, you know. You don't know, and everybody's different.
How did your dad die, Seana, can I ask you?
It was tragic circumstances. He ended up in the Salvation Army in Granby Place. That's where I don't know how he did it, but he got housed. Like, he had a little kind of like a studio apartment in that complex. Mm. And he was living there for a while, and he was kind of getting a little bit of work here, a bit of work there. And I'd say barbers around town felt sorry for him and was trying to give him a chance, you know, and he was doing a little bit of work. The last shop he worked in was in Capel Street. Mm-hmm. And he just drink related, you know, he just couldn't cope. He couldn't cope with life. He just, I suppose for him, it was killing him to go from such, you know, such highs and then such lows.
And then into cap in hand, looking for a gig here and a gig there. And
So
did the booze get him in the end, did it?
Yes.
It did, yeah. The liver went and that was the end of it.
Yeah.
Did you say goodbye to him?
You know, the last time I saw him, this is the type of person he was. He called into my house one morning. It was around Easter, and he called in with Easter eggs for his younger kids and my son. And I said, I'll make you a cup of coffee. And I knew by him, he was a little bit shaky, you know, and I was thinking he was obviously on the lash last night, you know. So we didn't encourage drinking at all. Mm-hmm. We never said to him, sit down and have a drink. We just weren't that type of family. Mm-hmm. So he came in, and I said, I'll make you a cup of coffee. And as I'm making the coffee, and I opened the fridge, take the milk out, and he said, I'd much rather a drink, love. And I said, I don't have any drink. You're not having a drink in this house. He said, I see one in the fridge there. And I was thinking, you see one in the fridge? And like that, there was a bottle of something in a corner in the fridge. How he spotted it, I do not know. And we kind of, you know, I said, no. And he said, please, please, come on, just one, just one, just one. And eventually I said, oh, here, just get it and go, you know. And he just got it in one. And drank it back, and he said, "Thanks, love." And that was the last time I seen him. You know,
good Lord,
poor fella.
That's a sad story. That is,
yeah,
that's a sad story. But you speak. Do you know what's kind of nice about it is, if you can find a goodness from the sadness, is that you speak really fondly of him.
Yeah, Yeah, well, you know, 12 years, you kind of go from being really angry and, you know, all the different emotions, you know, and you need to work on yourself to get to the stage that I'm at now, you know, to accept
years.
It's a long time.
It's funny, isn't it? You're listening to the radio, you hear Warren, and suddenly it all comes back to you, your dad.
Yeah,
on the streets,
like, oh my God.
Full circle,
Yeah.
You're gonna offer your services to Warren then to help out maybe for the, for
I'd love
female
to, you know,
homeless people.
Yeah, female. Or like I cut men's hair as well, you know, love to help out and just get involved.
Why don't we pass you on his number and maybe the two of you could work together? Wouldn't that be a gorgeous legacy for your dad for you to do that?
Absolutely, yeah, I love it.
It's a really sweet thing to do, and it's a very kind of you to suggest it. Okay, we'll organise a number exchange for you, and hopefully you guys can work together and go out and do that.
Thank you,
lovely act of kindness. I enjoyed talking to you. I'm sorry if we made you a bit sad thinking about that, but you spoke really, really eloquently about your dad.
Thanks, Amelia.
Yeah, I enjoyed that. Thanks for your time.
Okay, take care.
Look after yourself, won't you?
Bye.
Okay,
I will.
Bye-bye.